make it to Kenya. Don't worry, Kenya has come to us tonight. Shame on you if you don't reach out and get a chance to talk to these folks. You don't got to go all the way around the world. They live here. You get to be a part of their lives. They get to be a part of our lives. What a blessing it is. So good to have them here. I was thinking about Kenya this afternoon when I was thinking about us living there and how the concept of time is so different. Because when you say to meet at a certain time, I have dealt with it on so many occasions. Okay, we're going to meet tomorrow at 9 a.m. Well, 9 a.m. is any time between 8 a.m. and noon or something like that, you know. It might be 9, it might be 10. It might be 11. And you just never know. And people in Kenya, I'm going to tell these folks a little bit about people in Kenya. Is that all right? Sometimes people will say, actually, it's not just Kenyans. Americans are like this. And you ask them, you say, where are you at? I'm coming. And they haven't even left the house yet. Where are you at? I'm right around the corner. They're not around the corner. They're downtown still. Where are you at? I'm in the Matatu. They're not in the Matatu yet. So, there are some things there that you have to get used to. But more difficult than knowing, to being able to tell the time is knowing what time it is, knowing what season it is. How many know that the Lord works with seasons? Around here in Colorado, we moved from the barbecue outside. We moved inside for what? What reason? It was raining. This is summertime, but we're moving into what time of the year? It's about to be fall. The seasons are changing. Sometimes you get all four in one day. Isn't that good? If you just move to Colorado, you just wait. It'll be nice and sunny, and then it'll start snowing, and the sun is still out. That's just the way it is around here. But, you know, to understand the seasons and to understand timing is very, very important. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it gives us a little picture. You've probably heard this in a song before, but this is where it came from, right? And it says in Ecclesiastes 3 in verse 1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep. A time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent. And a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. You know, it takes wisdom to understand what is God doing, what is the Lord saying, how is the Lord moving, and why isn't the Lord working in such and such a way in my life, and why is this thing happening in my life right now? God works in different seasons, and it takes wisdom for that. You got to know when to hold them, right? Know when to fold them. What's the next part? Where is that at? Is that in Ecclesiastes? Know when to walk away and know when to run? No. That's from the gambler, Kenny Rogers. But you thought that was in the Bible, didn't you? You're looking in your concordance. You can Google that if you want. But you know, how many know time cannot be controlled? You can't control time. You can try and slow it down, but you can't slow time down. Time is moving, and maybe you've been in a place before where you wish time would slow down, and probably you've been in a place before where you wish things would just hurry up and move along. And you know, God has a way of moving things at his own pace. In fact, if you read just a little farther in our text here, it says that in verse 11, he has also set eternity in their hearts. God operates on a different clock. He doesn't operate by the clock that is on your watch or on your phone or on your wall. He doesn't operate by that time. He has his own time. He has his own way of working. And sometimes we think, well, if I just had more time. You can't control time, but you can control yourself. You can control how you respond, and what you do with time, and what you do with your time is determined by what matters to you. We're here tonight and we're worshiping the Lord because this is important to us. Being able to come together, this midweek service is valuable to us. It was important for us to make every effort to be here because we believe in what God is going to do. We need Him to do something in us. We're cultivating. You know, that soil, that farmer knows that when we get to harvest time, and there's a specific time when we're going to be reaping that harvest. In order to get to that, we've got to cultivate some things. Cultivating that soil is priority. And there's a time, there's a specific season when the fields are empty. There's nothing happening out there. But that farmer knows that I've got to work that ground. I've got to prepare that ground. That ground is the environment where the seed is going to have its best opportunity for success. He's working that ground. He's preparing that ground. They're doing everything. They know that there's nothing out there right now, but there's something that's going to be happening in a few months. 4 months from now, 5 months, 6 months from now. That harvest is going to come in. And a lot of people have difficulty in realizing that God doesn't hurry His development of us. We want God to just move things along. We want to grow faster. We want to see things happen at a quicker pace. And we see things working in somebody else's life. We're looking over at somebody else's field, and we see how come they've got a harvest and I don't have a harvest right now. Well, don't you worry about that. He's the Lord of the harvest. It doesn't matter what's going on with somebody else's situation. And I think about these seasons and having spring and summer and then autumn and then winter. And, you know, it kind of correlates with life a little bit. I mean, spring is, everybody likes spring. Anybody you don't like other than those with allergies? Probably most of us, we like spring. We like it because the grass is starting to turn green. It's a time of newness. We start to see the blossoms on the trees. Things are beginning to change. It's exciting. There's something that's happening. It's a time of newness. That's a time when the seed is going into the ground. Things are being planted. There's excitement for that. It's a great time. But then there comes summertime. That farmer's already put that soil. I shared a little bit of this with my small group. That farmer's already put the seed into the ground, and it begins to grow. And what does he do? He looks out over that field that's out there, and he just kind of looks at it, and he says, it's growing. Something's happening. He did his part. The seed went into the ground. It's being watered, and now the Lord is doing the heavy lifting with the sun. He's doing what that farmer can't do. He's doing something, and you can't see it. You don't always understand and see what's happening, but there's something that is taking place underneath the ground. There's a harvest that is waiting to be brought in. It's a wonderful thing, but summers are also hard work. You know, summers for us are busy. We're doing outreaches. If we want to see a harvest in the fall, we ought to be busy during the summer. We ought to be evangelizing. We ought to be going on an outreach. We ought to be doing some things in the parks. We're busy for the Lord because we know there's a harvest that's coming. And we're going to turn a corner here as a church, and we're going to enter into this season. Now it's time to really get to work and start drawing in the net, start bringing everything in. Well, I hate to say it, but we're not out of the woods yet when it comes to work. We got a lot. Not that I hate to say it. I'm just warning you. Get ready. There's still a lot of work to do. We have from now and all the way up through this conference. We got lots of great things coming up. We have a park outreach scheduled in just a few weeks. We've got some things that are on our calendar that are great opportunities for winning the lost. But we're going to turn a corner even after that, and we're going to get into winter. And you know, winter is a time when it seems like things begin to die. Things aren't working the way they should. Everybody, we like the spring because it's new. We like the summer because the climate is nice, and it's not dark when you get up in the morning, right? And in a couple of weeks, my daughter's going to start getting on the bus and going to school. It'll be pitch dark outside. She rides that bus in the dark all the way to school. What a joy that is. It sure is nice when it starts getting light earlier in the morning. But you know, it seems like things begin to die in the wintertime. It seems like nothing is happening. But many times, that's when the real action is taking place underneath the soil. And there might be things, there might be areas of your life you feel like, you know what, I'm not in the new part of life. I don't feel like I'm in the work part. I feel like I'm on the end of something, and it's like winter. It's like things are starting to die, and sometimes there is a period of time, or there's something in our life that needs to die. It needs to pass. We need to let it go. When those leaves begin to fall off of those trees, and they begin to fall, and we see all these leaves, and those they're turning up in the mountains, and those leaves begin to fall off. What's happening in there? The tree didn't die. There's something that's new that is happening inside of that tree. The life in that tree is what pushes those old leaves off, because there's a springtime that's coming. It's just around the corner. There's something that God wants to do. There's something fresh that God wants to do. And in order to have the new thing that God wants to do in our lives, we cannot hold on to offenses. We cannot hold on to the things of the past. There's something that's fresh that God wants to do, and there's a corner that needs to be turned. One man said, "It is God's way to set people aside after their first start so that self-confidence may die down." Why is that? Why is it that sometimes when we get off to a start, we feel like we're going just gangbusters? Everything is just going in our favor, and when we first give our lives to the Lord, it's like things are changing, we're growing, everything is exciting, and then you come to a place where you kind of begin to plateau. It's like a plane that finally reaches its altitude and begins to level off. What's happening there? There's something that God is doing in our lives. There is a process that's taking place in us. That it's not always about the big things and the exciting things. Many times it's about simply standing where God has placed you and being stable and being rooted where God has you and letting the process work in your life. You might be in a place where everything is brand new and it's exciting and you're rejoicing, and that's good. That's exciting. We praise God with you. But what about those that are in a difficult place? And in a place where they're hurting and it feels like nothing is working in their favor? They're looking at other people, seeing them get their victories, and that thing's happening for them. When is it going to be my turn? Don't you worry about it. He is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one that brings it to pass. He's the one that brings life out of a dark situation, out of a desperate situation. It might seem like it's an impossibility to you, but it's a possibility with God. That's how God operates. A student once asked the professor of the school he was attending whether or not he could take a shorter course than the one prescribed. "Oh, yes," replied the president, "but then it depends on what you want to be. When God wants to make an oak, he takes 100 years, but when he wants to make a squash, he just takes 6 months. That means there's no shortcuts. One man said, "Fruit ripens slowly. Days of sunshine and days of storm each add their share. Blessing will succeed blessing, and storm follows storm after the fruit is full grown and comes to maturity." You know, there are times when it seems like the ground is very hard, like it's dormant, like nothing is working, nothing is happening. But you can mark it down. God is at work. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. in verse 17. It says, verse 15, let me back up. Verse 15, Ephesians 5 and 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity or redeeming the time in the King James, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Paul's reminding them that that knowing the season is in the context of knowing the will of God. So there are a couple of things to understand, and that is that God is at work in every single situation you're dealing with. Sometimes it's hard to let things go and move into another chapter of life. I mean, no, that's how life is. It's like a book, and it's like you're turning the page, and it's a new chapter. And I remember when we were here years ago, and we were working with the youth. We thought, you know, when we left here and we moved to Northern Colorado to pastor, we left behind all of our young people, and we had built relationships. We thought we're never going to have friends like this again, and we were so sad to be leaving this church to be going to pastor. Well, then we were there for 4 years, and guess what? We thought, man, we're going to be leaving all of these people. We're never going to have friends like this anywhere else. So we packed it up, sold our house, came back here. We're here for 2 years, and then we were about to go to Kenya, and we thought, man, we're never going to have friends like in Kenya like we had here. Well, we got over to Kenya. We made all these new relationships, built all these friendships, and then when it got time to leave, we thought, we're never going to have friends like we have in Kenya. You know what it was? It was a new season. It was something new that God was doing. It was a new chapter in our lives. This is the way that God operates. And if we recognize this, we're better prepared for stepping into these new areas and new challenges, knowing that wherever it is that God is taking us, He'll meet us there. When we're led by His Spirit, we're not living just by our own whims and fantasies and unrealistic dreams, and we just kind of float and wander from place to place. If we simply trust the Lord and be in His will, we'll be better prepared for life. Life can be a challenge. You know, maybe you're having a tough time of it right now. I want you to know it's not always going to be like this. Look at somebody and tell them, it's not always going to be like this. Hey, and let me tell you, maybe you've got victory at every turn and the money's just rolling in and problems are a long ways off. You too can remember those words. It's not always going to be like this. Because the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Trouble has a way of finding us, and we have to be prepared to deal with the facts of life. Mark Twain was once asked a baggage handler as he was about to board a train if his briefcase would be strong enough to be checked in the baggage compartment. The man took his briefcase and immediately threw it down on the ground and said, "That's what it's going to get in Washington and in Philadelphia." Then he picked up the briefcase, hit it 5 times against the side of the train, and said, "That's what it's going to get in Chicago." Then he threw it on the ground and started stomping on it vigorously. The briefcase split open with all of his papers and books going everywhere, and he said, "Now that's what you're going to get in Sioux City. So I'll tell you what, if you're going any farther than Sioux City, I suggest you carry your briefcase with you on the train." How many feel like life has taken you to Sioux City? You've just been beat up and stomped on a little bit. So what do we do? Well, I'll tell you, the first thing is understand God is at work in every season. The second thing is align yourself with the will of God. There's a scripture, I've used it many times. It's a great scripture for knowing the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. You ought to write it down. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. If you want to know what God's will is, this is it right here. You'll have to look it up. I don't think I gave it to the people in the booth. It says this: rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. That's the will of God. You know, if we would learn simply to do those things, put our attention on the Lord, what is it that God wants? God wants a relationship with us. Whatever you're facing, however good or sour it might be a very, very difficult time. And you know, it feels like it's impossible to praise God. I want you to know, when our praises go up, the presence of the Lord begins to work in that situation. God, you're bigger than this. God, you're bigger than all of my problems. You're bigger than every crisis that I'm facing. God, I magnify you. I glorify you. I love it that we can come into church like a service tonight, and we can freely lift our hands up. We don't have to worry who's around us, who's listening, what's going on around us. We can lift up our hands and freely worship God and magnify God. It puts life in perspective. It puts life in perspective because we begin to see how big God is and how small this world is. Everything the devil throws at us, it doesn't matter what it is. It is under his feet. It says the earth is his footstool. Every problem you've got is under his feet. When we magnify God, our problems are put into perspective. We see them as small. When we magnify our problems, what happens? God is small. Our problems are bigger. And oh no, what are we going to do? And what about this? Listen, he's bigger than that cancer. He's bigger than that financial crisis that you're facing. He's capable. He is well able. If he did it once, he can do it again and again and again and again. And he doesn't overlook one person and think, well, I've only got enough for this one. No, he can fix them all at one time. When we call upon him, he is faithful. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads all across this place. The will of God is found in our yielding and being closer to him. There are two words for time in the Greek. One of those is called chronos. You get the word chronology. It's time that you can see on a clock and measure by the sun. You can measure it. It's chronos. Then there's a word that cannot be measured by time. You cannot look at a clock, and that word is called kairos. And a kairos moment is a moment that is a divinely appointed time. It's God's time. It's an opportunity when God opens a door and there's a window of opportunity and something that only God could have orchestrated. There are lots of kairos moments people could talk about here in this sanctuary. There are a lot of testimonies of people. You can point to a place and say there was a kairos moment, a moment where God opened a door or a window. There was some opportunity that was given. It was divinely appointed. It was a moment that God orchestrated. A kairos moment. And in the seasons and things that God does and the cycles that God works through, he opens these windows of opportunity, speaks to people, he gives wisdom and direction and leading, he gives guidance. And salvation, and that opportunity to respond to the gospel would be considered a kairos moment. It is a divinely appointed time. When he knocks and he calls us, and he extends his offer of salvation to us, and it's like he's drawing us, the Holy Spirit is drawing us to a place of decision or a place of repentance. That is the moment we ought to respond to that call. We should never say, well, I can come to the Lord whenever I feel like it. I can make my heart right. I can repent anytime I feel like it. That is simply not the case. Because the Holy Spirit draws us. He's pulling. There's times when we don't hear the voice of the Lord because we're preoccupied with other things in life and we forget about God. But this is a moment here where the Holy Spirit is speaking and drawing us to a place of decision. Maybe the Lord is dealing with you about turning something loose. Maybe you can be in different seasons. You could be in a different season in your business than you are in your Christian walk or in your marriage or in ministry. And sometimes it's time to start something new. Other times it's time to get to work. Then there are times when it's time, you know what, we're bringing in the harvest. And when it's winter and the season seems dormant, it seems like nothing is happening, don't give up. There's a new opportunity right around the corner. God may be just about to break something through in your life. I want to ask how many in this place, you don't know Jesus Christ. You've never responded to the gospel and you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior. I'm not saying you don't know about Jesus. A lot of folks know about Jesus, but I'm talking about, is he Lord of your life? Have you invited him in and said, God, I yield my life to you. You're the most important. I don't serve any other God. I need you, Jesus. How many all across this place, you don't know him in that fashion? You say, I need salvation. I need prayer. How many would raise up your hand all across this place, raise it up high? I want to pray for you tonight. How many would quickly just lift up your hands all over this place? You'd say, I need the Lord. I need salvation. Pray for me. Praise God. Amen. Let's all stand across this place. We're going to open up these altars tonight. Maybe you're in this place and you just need to talk to God. You're in a place where I need to hear from heaven. I need a Kairos moment of my own. I need God to meet me. I need to hear from him. I'm praying about something. I need wisdom. I need the Lord to guide me. Maybe you'd just like to come and find a place to pray. Let's open up these altars. You're welcome to come as we sing.
I can face tomorrow.